The Point Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Robb. The second season of Bates Motel is set to roll on the A&E Network. And in the center of it all, Emmy-nominated actress, the delightful Vera Farmiga, who's here to talk a little bit about the character behind the actress. Plus, Heroes returns and Archie goes YA. Let's get to The Point.
This is The Point. The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
A&E's Bates Motel is back for a second season, and in the middle of it all, Emmy-nominated actress Vera Farmiga, who plays Norma Bates. I asked Vera how she took this whole thing as an actress. Does she look at the role one script at a time, or does she want to know more about what's ahead for her character?
You know, I'm still figuring what it is that is part of my process. You know, I've never had the luxury of a second season. I've done three series before, and they all never had the opportunity to go beyond 13 episodes in the first season. So I know first season I did feel a little disabled. Not that the I couldn't ask, because I remember Carlton asking me, do you want some more clues? And I wanted to sort of take it an episode at a time and not get ahead of myself. And so for me, but in hindsight, in the experience of season one, I felt, oh man, okay, now in hindsight, especially having sort of a big bomb land in the last episode, for me it was impossible to dig as deep initially with the root of this new character. I just had to, like, it was like, I felt like Norma Bates was this like huge voluptuous shrub that I just had to trust in this kind of shallow root system. And sometimes I felt like I was like showing up to fix this toilet, and my toolbox has been like packed by the wife. That's why I just reveled in the opportunity of a second season. You know, it's television is a much slower process to discovering that background history, the personality, the psychology, the character's goals, and there were so many unknowns. And also, it's like it's the cast is so much closer. There's an intimacy. There's a level of like sportsmanship now that we can throw harder jabs at each other. There's the deeper level of trust that has been and love that's been established between us and Carrie and Carlton and between the actors. And so it's interesting developing a character over TV time. And yeah, I mean, certainly, but that's my own fault because I, at the same time, I wanted to pace myself with the information that was coming at me. But I think second season, I did ask for more clues.
With Bates and last summer's Conjuring, it seems like a lot of Vera's more recent roles have taken more of a darker turn. Is that a trend in her career?
There's a lot of darkness in Bates Motel, but again, there's a lot of joy. And you know, the things like for me, I've always look at things and I choose to look at it through the lens of positivity. And I think our story is a story about dysfunction. It's dark, but it's a story about commitment and love and family and resilience and loyalty. If you look at close to 50 films that I've done, it's only like five of them that are actually like certified horror stories. Everything else is maybe the most successful projects in my career have been psychological thrillers and horror, sort of twisted dark. But the object is like you send light into the darkness, you know, of our characters' hearts. I mean, that's how I always look at it. So I am attracted to the thwarted and the wacky, the unorthodox, but I love infusing it with lightness.
Vera told me that more than likely this season, Norma won't be ending up with a love interest on the show.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she's proved from from first season that she's totally over-anxious. She's too involved. You know, I mean, this is a woman who's been abused by her father, abused by her brother, discarded by men, unneeded by her older son. You know, she clings to one man that has been her protector, her confidant, her consolation, the light in her life. And it is Norman. And she's totally too involved in him. She's unable to cut the cord. Man, the issues of like women survivors of childhood sexual abuse, it's really complex. And you know, it impedes ability to trust, especially if you, like Norma, who man, these demons are within. These poisonous feelings that she has are embedded so deep in her psyche, and she's never uprooted them. She just, like, you know, she has this vault, this sort of burial chamber that she just, like, where she squashes all that sadness and stress and torment. She's totally preoccupied with Norman because, I mean, imagine it for yourself. It's like, you know, the faint-heartedness, the doom when you suspect that there's something not quite right neurologically with your child. It's not a job for the faint-hearted. So, like, all her, every ounce of energy really is trying to, you know, is her struggle with raising Norman, this atypical child. Doing it as a single parent. She's got her own painful history also to contend with. She's got this, like, rampart that she's built, the walls of Constantinople.
Is Norma really becoming unraveled?
Yeah, because I think what's happening, you know, she's built this brick by brick, and it's not, you know, the rampart's not so fortified anymore. Somebody comes a knocking. You know, she has the reason for moving out to White Pine Bay is to put as much real estate as possible between her and her past and these people that have been a part of, you know, this. Look, all of this has developed sort of really complicated psychological issues, like depression that she squashes and low self-esteem and fear and guilt. And that all that trauma, which she hasn't dealt with. Oh, man. You know, all these stressors, like these are, she's got pretty significant stressors that, A, affect her parenting capacities and also affect her every other relationship that, you know, that she can take on. I mean, the way I feel like she's kind of driving the bus from the back seat.
In the beginning, when she was approached about being on a TV series based on such an iconic movie, I asked Vera if she ever had any reservations.
Yes, I'd be lying if I didn't have, like, some reservation about it when initially was presented with the offer. I thought there is so many things that can go wrong.
Sure.
And we're being tethered, you know, we're borrowing these characterizations and these plot points from, like, arguably the most successful horror film ever. But, you know, at the same time, what assured me, I saw Freddie's audition tape.
Yeah.
And any skepticism, any trepidation, any fear I had, any vanished when I saw his audition tape. It wowed me. I saw it, and then it became to me a story. Now, like, it's not at the heart of the story is this relationship between mother and son.
So all that being said, after a successful first season, is Bates Motel the show starting to distance itself from Psycho the movie? For that question, I approached series co-creator and showrunner Carrie Eihern.
From the very beginning, Carlton and I wanted to honor the movie but not be beholden to it. So I think at this point, the world of Bates Motel has definitely become its own organic world. So while we're still conscious of the film, and obviously there's certain tent poles, let's say, that the film suggests, we don't. It kind of has become its own beast at this point.
New episodes of the second season of Bates Motel run right now on A&E. You can always find out more and see some sample clips too at aandtv.com. It's set for all the very latest in pop culture starting right now. Taking inspiration from Fox bringing back 24 as a limited event series, NBC is reviving Heroes. Heroes Reborn will be a 13-episode miniseries event set for NBC next year. And Tim Kring will be behind it as well, although there's no word on yet whether any of the original cast will return. There's a small teaser trailer, about 20 seconds in length, that shows us absolutely nothing. You can catch that up on YouTube if you'd like. But right now, Heroes Reborn is set to hit NBC in 2015. Archie Comics is expanding into yet another new market, this time the young adult novels. The first is Betty, Diary of a Girl Next Door, written by Tanya Del Rio. It'll be a prose novel, but there will be some sketches included. Diary of a Girl Next Door will go on sale on July 16th, and Archie promises there are more to follow. When the Veronica Mars movie hits theaters in just a couple of weeks, you'll be able to see it in theaters and at home as well. Warner Brothers is doing the day and date thing, releasing it on video on demand and digital the very same day it hits theaters. It's all part of the promise that Rob Thomas made for the original Kickstarter deal, telling folks when they contributed, they would also get a digital copy of the film the day it was released. As you know, Veronica Mars, the movie, was a Kickstarter project, picking up with just under $6 million in funding in that Kickstarter program. Actor Matt Ryan, who you know from The Tudors and the Criminal Minds spinoff Suspect Behavior, may end up getting the role of Constantine in the proposed NBC series. Sources say we should get an official announcement from the network very soon, and then a plan as to whether this will be going to pilot in time for the pilot season coming up in a few weeks, or perhaps it to be a substitute for something on the schedule in the 2014-2015 TV season. It's 20 pounds of X-Men for, well, a pretty big price. The X-Men Animanium Collection will be a 720-page slip-bound book that's set to come out from Marvel in a few months. It is not a complete set of all the X-Men stories, but has what Marvel calls some of the best, starting with X-Men number one from 1963, some of the issues from the late 60s, those ones that were never reprinted a whole lot, and then, of course, plenty of Chris Claremont, John Byrne, Grant Morrison, and a lot more. There's also a lot of original bonus material as well to round out the 720 pages, which, by the way, will set you back just around $200 when the Animanium Collection hits stores in May. Well, in the worlds of reboots and remakes, it was only a matter of time till we got to the subject of Farscape. And now it appears, at least according to some sources, that there is a script for a Farscape spinoff movie out there, written by Justin Bonjo, and attached to direct would be Brian Henson, son of the late Jim Henson, whose company was involved in the production of the original series and the short-lived miniseries that followed. The plot allegedly involves the son of Claudia Black and Ben Browder's characters, and there's no word yet on whether any of the original cast would return should this actually come to fruition. Bravo is moving into the world of original series with something called Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. It's based on a book series, and it stars Lisa Edelstein, Janine Garofalo, and Bo Garrett as well. It's set to work on development right now and will premiere on the network sometime in 2015. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. movie reboot now has a date to be in theaters. The film stars Armie Hammer, Henry Cavill, and Hugh Grant, and it's directed by Guy Ritchie. It'll be in theaters next January. Not the best time for movies, but Warner Brothers claims that a very busy 2015 has had them have to make a few changes in scheduling. A lot of cool and varied stuff to pick up this week in the comic store, starting right at the rack with Dark Horse, a new title called White Suits, which is by Frank Barbary and Toby Cypress. You might remember Toby from some work on Predator a few years ago. It involved incidents that took place during the Cold War with Russia that affected the world today in a big way. From DC, if you're into the Batman Little Gotham series, it's been running digitally for a while. There's a collection of that in a trade paperback this week. Gothotopia continues in Birds of Prey number 28, and also from DC, a collection of John Ostrander's fascinating look at the Martian Manhunter called Son of Mars. John's stories all collected in one trade paperback there as well. The X-Files conspiracy crossovers continue this week with the Turtles. I don't really want to think too much about that. Also this week from Image, Steve Orlando's Undertow Monster Saga begins with the first issue you're probably going to want to catch. Over at Marvel, the all-new X-Factor number 1 has a second printing, just like Avengers World number 1 does as well. One of the best-selling books of last month, by the way. And the first issue of Black Widow gets a second printing, and New Warriors gets a brand new number 1 this week, also for Marvel. Catch all these in comic stores near you. Find them a number of different ways. Comic Book Locator Service is where you can start. Do that at 1-888-COMIC-BOOK. Look at the big link we have right on the front of the ComicMix.com website. Or go to a site called FindAComicShop.com. That's it for another podcast. We're back a couple of times every week in all the usual places. First in the iTunes podcast directory and on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com, too. In the meantime, follow us 24/7 on Get the Point Radio, the world's very first pop culture radio station, broadcasting direct from GetThePointRadio.com. Listen right there for free on your laptop or your desktop, or take us along on your mobile device, either Apple or Android, with the free app, iNet Radio. Follow us on social media under The Point Radio on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll see you back here for the podcast again in a few days.